Alrighty, well, welcome, Pastor Ed. Good to see you.
Good day, everybody. Whatever the time of day it is, because it's a podcast, so who knows? It is our morning.
Yeah, it is our morning. It is a Friday.
It's Friday.
But you could be listening to it, I don't know, maybe Wednesday at 2:36 p.m.
If you listen to this, it's Wednesday at 4 a.m., go back to sleep.
Yes.
Don't use this to go back to sleep, because it's just switch it off and put some music on and go back to sleep.
Yeah, or read your Bible and be really spiritual.
Yep.
So, although this is pretty spiritual as well, listening to our podcast.
It's as close to the Bible as you can get, Dave.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
For the record, we are joking. Right, Ed, we're talking about some leadership stuff today.
We are, yes. We thought we'd do kind of a leadership podcast today.
Yeah, and we're talking a little bit about teams, building teams.
Yep.
About how do you build a great team, recruiting people, setting them up for a win. You know, we might call that like an induction process, and getting the job done, but keeping it fun, keeping it as a community rather than just like a task.
Yeah.
So it's
probably worth saying at this point, Dave, that all of us are leaders.
Right.
Because probably some people think, oh, I'm just not a leader, and you're going to switch off. All of us are leading. We're either leading families, we're leading people well or badly in our kind of work situations, or even if down the gym or whatever you do socially, you're actually leading. So some of these principles we're going to apply specifically, but the general principles of how to help life.
Yeah, yeah, totally, because leadership is influence, and we all have that
absolutely
in someone's life
at least. We either do well or badly.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, let's talk about church examples, but then you can, like you said, apply it to your workplace or your home, even whatever else. It starts off with a mission, doesn't it?
Yes.
It starts off with a job that we want to get done, something we want to achieve, and then we build in some teams and things like that that we need to
build to
get the job done. So how would you just begin that process from scratch? You've got a mission in mind. Where do you go from there?
From a church point of view, the mission's from the Bible.
Yeah.
So it's about making disciples and discipling people.
Yeah.
It's all written down on a website. You can go and have a look at it all. And then you need to figure out, well, what's your particular role in that?
Right.
Or how does your bit of that mission look? And for me, I want to ask the question, what's it going to look like in the future? Yep. Now, that could be a long-term future. You know, it could be huge, could be years away. It could be an idealistic kind of future. And I say, well, you know, if we could, I'd like to get there, whatever that looks like for what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you bring it back. You kind of think, well, what might that look like in 10 years or 5 years and in 1 year? And you then make it a doable step.
Yeah.
You know, what can things look like in a year or two or five or whatever, and so you bring that picture, that big vision back to a doable kind of
some bite-sized chunks almost.
And then once you've got that, then you go on to the next process.
Right. Okay, so what's that next process?
I'd like to do that, you go, well, what kind of resources do I need?
Yeah.
Resources, people, massively.
Yeah.
We love people, but let's face it, guys, we're all resource.
Yeah.
Primarily for God to do his work.
Yeah.
And then we're resource for everybody else to do whatever God's called them to do. So what kind of resource do we need? What kind of finance? What kind of things? What kind of training? You kind of look at the whole thing about what kind of resources do I need to make this thing happen. Obviously, we're talking about people. So what kind of people? What kind of numbers? Is there any specialized skills I need?
Yeah.
Those kind of questions.
Yeah, great. So step one is figure out your mission.
Yeah.
If it's a business, it could be we want to make this amount of profit, or we want to have this product in a number of homes, or
yeah, I'll be this big.
Right. If it's family, it could be anything from, you know, we want to operate in this way with one salary, or we want to buy this house, or we want to serve in church in this way, or whatever. We want to save up for a holiday, and then you break it down into bite-sized chunks.
Yeah.
So what do we need to have in place to achieve that bigger vision?
Yeah.
And then you need to figure out the roles within that. So what are we good at? What can we do?
Yeah.
And who do we need? What resources do we need? Money, people, that kind of thing. So we've ascertained that we need people.
Yes.
Because every project needs people.
Always need people.
There's no project that doesn't need people.
Yeah.
So you've got a great vision. You've got some bite-sized chunks about how to make it happen. How do you approach people to join in with you? Especially the sort of volunteers, especially, because obviously you can pay people to do a job.
Hire people and pay them and then tell them what to do. Yeah. That's definitely the easiest way. You will show up on time, otherwise no money. Great motivating factor. So in a volunteer situation, and that can count, but I mean, it's also useful for businesses and for homes.
Totally.
For kids, being a dad. It's about helping people see where you want to get to.
Yeah.
And you need to usually paint both of those pictures. So you need to paint the big long-term picture. People have to go, well, where are we heading with this thing?
Yeah.
You know, as a family, what kind of family we're trying to achieve? If it's a business, what kind of business are we trying to achieve? How much money are we going to make?
Yeah.
If a church, what kind of church are we going for? You know, how many people do we hope that will be saved? You know, what kind of music will we be? What kind of feeling? Yeah. What kind of culture? What kind of home will it be? But then, as you paint that big picture, hopefully people go like, "Man, that's amazing! I'd love to be part of something like that."
Right.
And they go, "Yeah, you know, wow, yeah, man, that's got my heart."
Mm.
And then you pull it back to the project or the bite-sized chunk that you want them to get involved with,
right?
And say, "For us to do that, one of the things we need to do now is to do this." And then you paint that picture.
Yeah.
You know, so let's use hosting.
Yeah.
We need some hosts that can just have a great smile on their face, can welcome people in, know kind of where the toilets are, where people can sit, and basic things so people know that. But mainly it's just about showing up on time,
mm-hmm.
and about creating this place where people are like, wow, it's great to see you, and that huge welcome. So it's a bite-sized chunk picture of how you get into the big one, and they're saying, we think you would be fantastic at that.
Yeah.
So it's about painting the picture, and then belief in them.
Yeah.
Massively about, if you ever give the impression that you don't think they can do it, that's just not going to work.
Right.
So it's that belief in them that they can actually fulfill that bite-sized bit of the vision that you've inspired them to believe is an amazing bit of life.
Yeah, totally. And I think also, you know, to add in, I think a lot of people in leadership make the mistake of going, well, I feel nervous about asking someone to do something because I don't want to, like, be a burden on them or whatever. I think what those people forget is actually people want to be involved.
They do want to be involved massively.
And you know, especially in church life, when people feel called, the call of God specifically in that sense, you know, where we're actually robbing people, we're actually saying no to people, no on behalf of people when we don't ask them, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're kind of already making the choice for them. So I would also encourage people just to, you know, always think, you know, people should want to be a part of this, and being confident in presenting that vision.
I have to say, Dave, I've never wondered ever if somebody should want to be part of the amazing thing of building church.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's just a non-question in my mind.
Yeah.
We get to help people discover God, their eternal salvation, their eternal destiny, everything gets changed. This is the most amazing, wonderful thing we ever get to do.
Yeah.
Why would anybody not want to play a part in that?
Yeah,
sure, they want to play a part where they can do it, but apart from that, why would they not want to throw hours and stacks of cash at it? Because it's an eternal consequence thing we do.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. So someone said yes.
Yeah.
They're on team because you've painted the grand picture.
Yeah, believe in them.
You've brought it down to their, you know, to kind of next steps. You believe in them. They feel trusted. You've invited them onto team. What next?
Basic training.
Right.
And it's something we're going to work hard on over the next year.
Yeah.
Is what does this volunteer need? What information do I, as a leader or as an influencer, need to tell them so they know what to do?
Right.
Simple things like expectations, if timings, intensity, you know, how often do I have to do this? And obviously it can be a negotiation. Someone said, hey, you know, I'm on shift work, I can only make it every other week, or something. Sure. Like, I'm a nurse and I work in hospital. It's like, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
So there's a conversation. You need to train them about what to do. You know, we've got foam hands, for example, for the hosting, using that example.
Yeah.
How do I use a foam hand?
Yeah, to wave people in, you to know, the car park.
And you don't kind of put it up your nose and things like that. You're using, you know, so sometimes you just have to say, look, use it to help people, not to be. And so you do the basic training. It could be some kind of, some of the health and safety stuff that you might have to train them in. So you give them a training.
Yeah.
You let them know how often you meet and the timings that you meet.
Yeah.
And then for in that training, you talk about team.
Right.
You're not going to do it on your own. Build part of this team. We have team things together. They're essential for us really functioning well.
Yeah.
You'll never... Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's all that kind of process. And then you inspire them.
Yeah.
Just keep inspiring people, even in the training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that done kind of, you know, reconnecting people to that grand vision again. You know, so you've got your whole, this is where we want to be in 5 years. You know, we talked about that as an example. And then you give them the bite-sized bits, the steps. You've trained them on team. They've done the job a few weeks. And, you know, I think in my experience, you can definitely do the job for a few weeks and forget really quickly
what the big vision is.
What the big picture and the big vision was in the first place. I think reminding people of that and always connecting people back to purpose is important. What about, you know, helping people? Once they've come into team, you know, someone might, they start off shaking hands on the doors or serving tea and coffee in the cafe or whatever else, you know, something that's real accessible. How do we then, as team leaders, want to look at getting people to their next step? For some people, they might be a greeter on the host team for decades because
they're flipping brilliant at it.
Yeah, they feel called to
and
it.
And that's their role. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And it's a great role.
Yeah, for others, they might, you know, they might feel called more to be a kind of a more leadership role within church life. Maybe they don't have a leadership role in the business world or whatever, and they want to do it in church, for example. I mean, how do you help people get to the next step once they're already on team?
Well, let's talk about church life. All the ministry leaders are tasked to look after ministries for a season, and the ministry leaders are really, their heart should be, we're here to build the whole thing. So part of what they should be doing or trying to do, and I think this is true in any area of life, business or home, is we should be saying, well, what are these people, what's this volunteer or this paid member of staff, what are they actually really, really good at?
Right.
What's their sweet spot?
Yep.
And helping them to discover that. So going back to the host, you know, somebody comes on host team, says, yeah, I can welcome people. Sure, yeah,
yeah.
I can turn up and say hi, and there's a car park and there's a toilet and stuff. But the leader's thinking, is this the person's long-term role?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there another step either within the hosting that they need to walk into, or is there some other gifts and skills that they need to explore in their life to really fulfill God's call on their life? And so hopefully the ministry leader will be going, well, this person really should have a go at this. You know, they seem to have some speaking gifts, for example, need to have a go at speaking somewhere.
Yeah.
Or actually, this guy plays the drums. I really need to kind of push him into the worship side of stuff.
Yeah.
Or I've noticed they're really good with young people. If a young person comes through the door, they kind of light up and they connect with them really, really well. Yeah. And they're kind of aware of, it's not just about what they're doing now, it's about helping them really get to their sweet spot in life, and especially in ministry in church.
Yeah.
And so that should be going on in the kind of background.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. It's probably another question. We'll wrap up in a minute, but probably another question. Maybe some team leaders, if they're listening to this, would be asking, "Oh, great! I want to build people. I want to bring people up and all that." But you know, I find it difficult to trust them with stuff.
Yeah.
So I believe in them as people, but I don't know if they can get the job done well. I feel like they'll drop some plates. You know, I'm spinning all the plates at the moment. I feel like if I hand them off, some of them are going to get smashed. As I raise them up, what do I do?
Let them smash on plates.
Right.
Yeah. Delegation, right, if you're skilled and good at what you're doing, when hopefully you are, if you're leading something, if you pass it on to somebody else, they won't do it as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure they won't. It's one of the toughest things leaders do is to give away responsibility to people who are still learning.
Yeah.
Because they are still learning, knowing they're going to do it worse than you are. But if you don't, you never grow up.
Yeah.
Grow personally. You can never expand your ministry or the ministry that you're over at the time. People can't grow. Yeah. Unless people are trusted as they're learning, they will never grow and become the people that they're called to be.
Yeah.
And one of the joys of my job being involved in young people for 20 odd years now is seeing young people who we pass plates onto and they drop them a few times.
Yeah.
But actually, they pick them back up again.
Yeah.
Put them back together again.
Yeah.
Got on with the job. And a lot of these guys that I definitely trusted years ago, well, they've far surpassed anything that I've ever done in those areas.
Mm.
And it's down to us risking, trusting, letting them smash a few plates and being okay with it.
Yeah.
So if you are a ministry leader or one of the leaders at church, you have to take some risks. I mean, there need to be judged risks.
Yeah.
Like, don't give somebody something to do you think they'll never be good at.
Right.
Because that's been stupid.
Yeah.
But if you think, well, I think they might be good at it, give them a go.
Great.
Let them go. Let them drop the plate. Yeah. Let them experience the, man, I didn't do that very well.
Yeah.
See how they respond.
Yeah.
Because your good guys will go, heck, I'm real sorry.
Yeah.
Can I pick that plate up and have another go?
Yeah. And help them through that process. Because I think a lot of people, they go, I'll delegate, right. Oh, yeah, I'll give it to them.
And they leave them alone.
They drop the plates off. They, you know, the plates smash or whatever, and they go, yeah, well, I knew that would happen. And that's called dumping.
Yeah.
Delegation is coming alongside someone, let me train you. You know, the whole Maxwell thing, you know, I do, you watch, I do, you help, you do, I help, you do, I watch. That kind of process of training someone, releasing them to go. And then, I can, guess, I'm wrapping up now, but having those evaluation conversations over and over again. How did you think it went? You know, what are we going to learn? You know,
absolutely. Encouragement. All I mean, Dave's right. But in my experience, most leaders struggle to let go of that plate.
Yeah.
I think most leaders know they need to follow up and have those conversations, but you actually have to let go of that plate.
Yeah.
And you have to let it fall and go tinkle, tinkle, smash.
Yeah. So don't interfere too quickly. No. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, Dave's right.
Yeah.
Do all the follow-up. Once the plate's fallen down, do the briefing, you know.
But make sure your follow-up isn't stopping them from learning something.
No. Yeah. And give them another go.
Yeah.
You have to believe in people for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving people permission to make mistakes.
Massive,
an experiment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So I hope that was helpful. We'll do some more leadership-y things from time to time. And obviously we've got loads of stuff coming up with Christmas coming soon. Not least, Tots Great for Christmas this coming Sunday, 23rd of November. In the afternoon there, we also have a whole bunch of other stuff coming up in December. We got 21st of December is the Christmas Encounter, morning and evening. Christmas Eve service, 6 p.m. Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day service. It's a shorter service at 10:30 a.m. So I'll be inviting your friends, and we should have little invite cards on the weekend of the 23rd for you to begin inviting people with. So enjoy the season, and we'll see you in and around church.